Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullahu ta'ala. And this book, you can see here, it's called Hifdhul Umar. Hifdhul Umar, which is the preservation of life, safeguarding life. And really there are actually two books rolled into one. And the first deals with the importance, the value of time, the value of our time. And I want to mention some benefits from the first part of the book. And the second part of the book discusses the various stages in a man's life. What are the various phases in a person's life? There are five phases altogether. And we shall discuss them, inshallah ta'ala, after we establish the value of the life of a Muslim. So he begins by praising Allah. Alhamdulillahi alladhi ja'ala umur al-adami safaran ila al-ukhra tawilan wa qasiran. Praises Allah who made the life of a man to be a journey from one phase to another phase, whether it is long or whether it is short. And then he says that on this journey, each person acquires merchandise. So on this journey, every person is acquiring merchandise. So the person who is awake and alert on this journey, this is the person who will profit a great deal. He will profit a great deal. And the one who is neglectful, he will perish. And so he says on this journey, every person will be presented with shahawat, with desires. And so therefore, the one who is jahil, the one who has no ilm, he will become a captive. He will become a slave to those shahawat, those desires which are put in front of him on this journey. And as a result, he will become captivated and tied up. And he will face humiliation as a result of this. And then he says, look at how in the Sharia has encouraged a Muslim to take advantage of this time. As Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in the ayah in Surah Al-Furqan, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ خِلْفَةً لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. That he is the one who made the night and the day in succession for the one who wants to be mindful and remember, and for the one who wants to be grateful, meaning grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. So after this introduction, he then explains, he then goes on in the next chapter to bring some of the virtues of life, the nobility of life and the value of life itself. And so from the nusus, from the text that he mentions, is the hadith, a well-known hadith, إِنَّ الصِّحَةَ وَالْفَرَاغُ نِعْمَتَانِ مِنْ نِعَمِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. That indeed, good health and free time, spare time, good health and free time are from the favors, two favors from the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal. But most of people lose out with respect to them. Most people lose out from benefiting from their good health and from the free time that they possess. Most people lose. It does not mean that most people don't have them. It means most people do not benefit from them whilst having them. Meaning not benefiting in terms of their iman and righteous deeds. Likewise, he mentions the hadith, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ سِتَّنْ, that hasten to do deeds before six things reach you, before six things come to you. The rising of the sun from the west, or the Dajjal, the Dukhan, the smoke, or the Dajjal, the great liar, or the Dabba, which is the beast that shall come from the earth, or the basically that which comes to one of you, the death of one of you, or something which affects the general people, some trial that affects the general people. Likewise, he mentions from the texts, or a statement from Umar, رضي الله عنه حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا. Call yourselves to account before you are called to account, and weigh yourselves before you are weighed. For indeed, it is easier for you, the account that will take place tomorrow, if you take account of yourselves today, and prepare yourselves for the greatest exposition. The greatest exposition. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تُخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. The day on which things will be presented to you and nothing will be hidden from you. Nothing will be hidden from you. Likewise, he mentions the statement of Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Indeed, I hate a man who has spare time. He's farigh, has nothing to do. And he does no action, neither an action of the world, nor an action of the hereafter. Meaning that he doesn't do anything to benefit himself in the worldly sense. It could be maybe earning a living, a trade by which will assist him in worshipping Allah. Nor does he do anything in terms of ibadah and nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. So this man, Abdullah ibn Masud, he says, indeed I hate a man like this. I hate a man like this. Likewise, Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said that he used to say, indeed, innakum fi mamarri al-layl wa an-nahar. Indeed, you are in the passing of the night and the day. And you are passing by a time which decreases. And actions of yours which are being written against you or written for you, the angels he's referring to. And death will come to you all of a sudden. So whoever planted something good, then he will look forward to the harvest. Whoever planted something good, the seed of goodness, he will look forward to the harvesting of the produce. And whoever planted evil, then he will only have regret and remorse. And every person will only have that which he planted, that which he sowed. And so he mentions from these statements likewise the statement of Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says, there is no day that comes upon a person from the days of this world except that this day speaks. Every day which comes upon a person, it speaks. And it says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, Inni yawmun jadid. I am a new day. Wa ana ala ma yu'malu fiyya shahidun. And whatever is done within me, meaning whatever is done on this day, then I am a witness upon that. I am a witness upon that. وَإِنِّي لَوْ قَدْ أَفَلَتْ شَمْسِي لَمْ أَرْجِ إِلَيْكُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And when the sun disappears, then I shall never ever return to you. I will never ever come till the day of judgment. So meaning that this day will pass and it will be gone forever. And Abu Bakr bin Ayyash, he said something very striking, something amazing that we can relate to. He said, one of you, or one of them, لَوْ سَقَطَ مِنْهُ دِرْهَمْ لَظَلَّ يَوْمَهُ يَقُولْ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. If one of you was to lose a dirham, if something fell out of his pocket, a dirham, a 20 note, a 50 note, then he would spend the rest of his day saying, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ ذَهَبَ دِرْهَمِي. He would spend the rest of the day saying, oh, my dirham has gone, my note has gone, my $20 has gone, my $50 has gone. He would spend the rest of the day, maybe he sleeps and he will be remorseful and regretful that he lost $20 or $50. Yet, his whole day passes by. And he doesn't say, ذَهَبَ يَوْمِي مَا عَمِلْتُ فِيهِ.
The whole day passes by, but he doesn't regret and have remorse that he didn't do deeds in that day which he benefited from. Obedience to Allah which he benefited from. Taqwa of Allah, which brought him closer to Allah. So he's remorseful and feels pained and hurt when he loses a dirham or $20 or $50. But he's not harmed at all when the whole day passes. No recitation of the Quran. No nawafil. No tawbah. No istighfar. No enjoining good. No teaching something of benefit to his family. The whole day goes and nothing. And we don't find such a person remorseful. So this is a sign, ya ikhwan, that we do not value time. If your day passes like this, it's a sign that we do not, in fact, value time at all. So these are some athar, these are some narrations that Ibn al-Jawzi mentions regarding the value of time and how the Sahaba value time. And this brings us to the issue of life itself and what are the various stages in a person's life. If you understand what Ibn al-Jawzi explains next, then inshallah ta'ala it will help you a great deal to understand the particular phase of life you are in right now and what is upon you in this specific phase of your life. So he explains in the second part of this treatise that life is divided into five stages. Everyone has five stages in their life, except as Allah wills, that Allah takes you before you are able to reach those five stages. So the first of those stages, the first season of your life, is from birth to bulugh. Bulugh meaning where you reach the age where you are able to discern between right and wrong, and you are able to reason and make decisions and be responsible for those decisions. So in this first phase of your life, the first 15 years or so of your life, 12 to 15 years, 10 to 15 years of your life, then this stage, and the limit is put to 15 for bulugh, for reaching the age of maturity, then most of this time you spend with your parents. Most of this time is spent with your parents. And here it is the parents' responsibility to nurture this child, to teach this child, to direct him upon that which is of benefit to him. And this is largely a time in which whatever is taught to the child, it will be imprinted on the child like you imprint something on stone. So giving tarbiyah to the child in this phase is like scratching something or imprinting something on a stone. It will remain for a very, very, very long time, because this is the nature of children. Very impressionable, remember things very easily. And so whichever tarbiyah they are given, then this tarbiyah remains with them for a very long time. And as it is said, At-ta'leem fi sighar qan-naqsh fil hajar. That teaching when young, it is like engraving on stone. And then he says, the statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, regarding the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and your families from a fire. That Ali bin Abi Talib said about this ayah, عَلِّمُوهُمْ وَأَدِّبُوهُمْ. Teach them and discipline them. Teach them, instruct them, teach them, and also inform them of manners. Discipline them. And so therefore, the parents, in this phase of your life, they teach you how to perform the salah. They teach you the basics of tawheed. They teach you the pillars. They encourage you upon the prayer if you reach 7. They discipline you by the age of 10. They make you memorize the Quran. They make you listen to the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah. And whatever knowledge a child is able to bear and carry, then they convey this knowledge to that child. Likewise, whatever is evil, they make it appear evil to the child, like lying and being dishonest and displays of bad manners and things of that nature. They inform him and tell him that this is evil. And whatever is good, then they inform him that this is good. So they basically give him a furqan and an awareness of right and wrong. All of this is what is known as the stage of planting the seed. This is the stage of planting the seed. Planting the seed of goodness in the youth in the first 15 years of his life, which are the most impressionable stage, the most impressionable stage of his life. Once a person reaches 15, then he moves to the second stage, and the second stage is the stage of being a shab, the stage of the shabab, which is the stage that runs from 15 to 35. The first stage is 0 to 15. The second stage is 15 to 35. This is 20 years of your life. 20 years of your life. And this is from the time that you reach bulugh, 2 decades. Now, Islamically, a person becomes a man responsible for his actions when he reaches bulugh. This concept of adolescence, this is something new and unique to the 20th century. This never existed before the 20th century. All the nations, all the civilizations in history, to them a child became a man when he displayed the signs of manhood. Signs of puberty, pubic hair, seeing in a dream what he sees, right? Which usually varies, could be 10, but the upper limit, the scholars put to 15. A child would be... a man. This idea of adolescence, where you gradually move from being a child to a responsible adult, whether it's 18 or whatever, this is something that is new in these societies in the West. It is something that is a social invention. And to be honest with you, this is something that limits children. It makes them remain in their childhood for longer than what is necessary. It makes them overly dependent, and it takes away from them this, you know, when you look in the old civilizations before, you would see that children by the age of 10, 11 were fully capable of managing their own affairs. Fully capable, earning a living, going out to work, being able to make decisions, having visions for their life. This, unfortunately, is the way that society shapes and changes how people ought to behave. So basically, we need to keep that in mind, and parents need to keep this in mind as well about their children, that the second stage of their life is the stage of being a shab, from 15 to 35. This is the greatest part of your life. It is this part of your life where all of this takes place, from 15 to 35. This is because in this period of time, there are certain things which happen to us as you become a man, and there is the strength of desire, the shahwa, and the hawa, and the temptations. It's also a time in which you, as soon as you've reached the age of discernment, that you seek knowledge and seek understanding. So there are many things which are taking place in this phase of your life. Removing ignorance from yourself. Resisting the temptations that come to you from different angles, from society, from, you know, whatever you are exposed to. So this is the greatest moment in your life. If you are in this stage right now, between 15 to 35, whatever you do in this stage will make your life easier. As you move into the third stage, and the fourth stage, and the fifth stage, your life will become easier depending on your nafs, against your hawa, against shaitan. Everything will become easy. And so, Shaykh Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, he says that a person who is alert and aware in this stage, then he will become near to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the person who is neglectful in this stage, then he will suffer a great and mighty loss. And in this phase, when a person has sabr, when he has patience, like for example the patience of Yusuf as-Siddiq, then if he has patience in this stage, then he will go on to reach a great station.
He mentions the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, عَجِبَ رَبُّكْ مِنْ شَابٍ لَيْسَتْ لَهُ صَبْوَةٍ.
That indeed your Lord is amazed at the youth. لَيْسَتْ لَهُ صَبْوَةٍ. What this means, the scholars explain, is that this youth, is he is preoccupied in innocence and righteousness and obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he's not tempted by those things. He does not turn towards those things like the shahawat, the desires and the things which misguide other people. He remains innocent. He remains pure. He keeps himself chaste. He is obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so he maintains that innocence in his youth. This type of person, Allah Azza wa Jal is amazed. He has ajab towards the like of this youth, who spends his youth upon this innocent, pure, chaste, obedient way. So this then is the second phase of your life. It is the phase which is the greatest phase, the greatest part of your life. The third part of your life is from 35 to 50. And this is known as Al-Kahula. And this is basically a continuation of the phase which is from the Shabab. It's a continuation. But in this phase, what you find is that your desires become weaker. Your propensity for disobedience becomes weaker. It's not like it was in the period of 15 to 35. Because now you become slightly wiser. You become more experienced. Your ibadah, your taqwa in the phase that came before should make you stronger and less prone to these kind of temptations of disobedience and sin. So in this period, there is still some inclination towards disobedience and sin, but it is much less than in the previous stage. And so in this period, a person, he continues to fight against his desires, continues to resist these temptations, continues to persist upon ilm and ta'a and taqwa and so on and so forth, and it is easy for him. So this is 35 to 50, the third stage. The fourth stage is the stage of shaykhukha. This is between 50 and 70. And in this period there is still something that remains in a person of hawa. A small amount of hawa still remains in a person. And a person is rewarded for the sabr he has, the patience he has, the restraint he has in keeping that hawa at bay and resisting it. But this hawa is weakened much more than it was in the previous stage and the stage before that. And so we find that in this stage, anyone who falls into sins, then he is severely blameworthy. A person who reaches the age of 50 to 70 and he falls into those types of blameworthy sins of following the shahawat, then this is very, very serious in that particular age to be falling into those sins. Why? Because a person naturally does not have an inclination towards them. So anyone who falls into those types of sins, it means that he is actively pursuing and choosing that as a way. Not that he fell into a mistake or he slipped, but rather he's actively pursuing and choosing, because between the 50 and 70, you are no longer inclined towards those things. You realize life is short. And so therefore it is grave and serious in that time. And then finally you reach the stage of Al-Haram, the fifth stage, which is the stage of where slowly you start, you know, falling into very old age, senility. You maybe lose your ability to think clearly. And so this is the final stage. And in this stage a person knows that he's literally close to death. Anytime he will be taken, and he will be, you know, his soul will be taken from him. So from all of this we understand, ya ikhwan, every person knows which stage of his life he is in. If you are a youth, 0 to 15, you are dependent upon your parents, and you will soon reach manhood. When you reach manhood, this will be the greatest phase of your life, 15 to 35, those 2 decades. You have 2 decades to determine the course of the rest of your life.